Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mark Long joins us, our friend from the AP and Jax. He covers the Jags and Gators. He's on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
It's good to have you back on. Hey, so let's talk about the Jaguars first. I mean, what could be worse than having that guy? Now, listen, when he threw that floater into the corner for the touchdown, I mean, Foles' pass was so beautiful. It was literally a raindrop. It came out of the skies, out of the heavens, with a perfect touch, a perfect pass. It was phenomenal. I was like, oh, my God, they have been craving this in Jacksonville forever, a quarterback that can actually throw a beautiful pass. And they've never really – Brunell, I guess, the only guy. But honestly, they've waited so long for this guy after Bortles that to see him break his clavicle is, like, to me, devastation for the club.
Oh, it's, I mean, you nailed it. It's the most beautiful pass with the most horrible result ever. Forget the touchdown. I mean, you lose your quarterback 10 plays in to the season opener. You've been looking for this guy for 20 years almost, looking for a franchise quarterback. You failed repeatedly in the draft with Bortles and Gabbard and Garrard and Leftwich. So they think they got their guy. They go out and pay him $88 million, 50 guaranteed to come in, and you get him for two series. And certainly looked good on that second series. And this is absolute devastation. I've been here. I came up here in 05, Scott, and this is the first time I can ever remember a season that was just, like, flushed week one. And, you just can't I think the world of Gardner Minshew. I think he's a smart kid. He's got looks like he's got a promising future in this league, but I can't imagine – a rookie quarterback's going to come in and do anything other than, flounder, in this league. So that's typically what you do. So, to me, it's an unbelievable kick in the nether regions for the Jags again. And they're going to be, they're going to be struggling to win football games. I don't care how good the defense is, and I don't care how good Leonard Fournette is. When you got this kind of quarterback situation, and let's not sugarcoat it, Scott, they got the worst quarterback situation in the league. Forget the fact that you're starting a rookie sixth-round draft pick, but you're also paying – don't forget they're paying $15.5 million to Blake Bortles to not play, and now they're paying $12 million to Foles to sit on the bench on IR for 2 months. So you almost got $30 million wrapped up on two guys, and neither one of them is going to take a snap for you.
So, they still pay Bortles. What a nightmare. And he's in L.A. loving life, probably. Now, what is the feeling about Gardner Minshew? Because he was fantastic at Washington State, but is he a deer in the headlights in the NFL?
Well, I mean, he had a fantastic debut when you look at the numbers. Whatever it was, 22 of 25 for 275 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. What you got to look at deeper, a little deeper. Both touchdowns came in the fourth quarter, and you wonder, what is Kansas City playing from a defensive standpoint at that point? Are they playing, just this complete prevent, and he's, kind of picking them apart. So now, with that said, he also completed his first 13 passes. The guy wasn't a deer in the headlights by any stretch of the imagination. He took over when the game was 10-7, so it wasn't like he, took over and they were getting stomped and Kansas City just played complete prevent. But, you wonder, now people are going to have tape on him. People are going to game plan for him a little bit. People are going to know he's a sixth-round rookie, and, are you going to start just blitzing the hell out of him? All those things. I think we'll get a better feel for what Gardner Minshew is. I'll say this about him. Scott, I've never in my life, I've been covering the league for 20 years, I've never seen anybody treat a sixth-round draft pick like the Jags have Gardner Minshew in terms of Doug Marrone, Tom Coughlin, guys who don't exactly sit around praising quarterbacks all day. They have praised this kid from day one. They've been over the moon with him in terms of, you know, his ability to pick things up, his ability to learn the offense and communicate and all those things, his leadership, all that stuff. They've been head over heels. And, you know, I mean, how do you not love that mustache?
Yeah, I do love it. It's Boogie Nights. I got to tell you, you know, I think Mike Leach deserves credit for this kid. He's older, and he's stayed at Pullman, and he actually, I think, is ahead of the curve because of that, and I think it's paying off in spades because I think Mike Leach, frankly, is a great coach, and I think that kid has learned so much of a pro-style offense at Washington State, believe it or not. I don't know if anyone will recognize that fact, but I am. I'm a friend of Mike's, and I think he's done a hell of a job with the kid.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt that what he did in Washington State as, you know, his final year in college, put up unbelievable numbers. And like you, just like you said, in a pro style system, there's no doubt that that's got him as close to NFL ready as any of the, maybe any of the first and second and third guys, third round guys who came out. And we'll see time this year. So, that's, I think, what the Jags have already talked about him. Here's the crazy part about it. The Jags have already talked about him as forget what he does on the field and what he does in his NFL future. They think he's going to be a head coach and a damn good one at some point. They've already said it. Tom Coughlin said it. He's like, listen, if it doesn't work out, we're going to hire the guy to be on our staff. That's what they think of him.
Wow.
Mentally and, you know, his knowledge of the game and the way he figures out all the X's and O's and whatnot.
So, Mark Longwood is from the AP in Jacksonville. Do you think that – so the plan is, without a doubt, moving forward – is that they're going to go with Minshew and then Joshua Dobbs would be the backup.
Yeah, there's no chance. Unless Minshew falls on his face here, and nobody thinks that's going to happen. He may have his struggles, but he's not going to, you know, this is his job for the next 2 months until Nick Foles comes back. It is Minshew's job, and Dobbs is just an insurance policy for them because they really had no choice, and they looked at what was on the street. And they just thought garbage, 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 garbage. We want no part of that. So they said, you know, listen, we got an extra fifth round draft pick. We can get a guy, Josh Dobbs, we like, another really smart kid. I think he was some sort of Mensa student in college. That's a joke. But he's a borderline genius. And I think he was aerospace engineer or something ridiculous.
Right.
And so you know, something you and I didn't go to college for.
Yeah.
And, they're gonna just hope that he sits in the back and they never have to play him.
I got a journalism degree and also a master's in alcoholism. I got to tell you, it was fantastic. I thought DJ Clark, or Shark, what's his name? That guy played great.
Fantastic. Fantastic guy. They thought him last year, they drafted him in the second round and they thought a steal in the second round because they knew the kid had this. He's 6'4". He's got a lot of size, unbelievably fast. And they thought, okay, we're going to sneak him in the second round because he played at LSU. Played at LSU where they don't exactly throw the ball until this year. They haven't been throwing the ball with any decency in the last decade or more. And so they thought, you know, listen, we got a guy who played at a, you know, like those Georgia Tech receivers, Calvin Johnson, Julio, is it Julio Jones? No, Calvin Johnson, somebody else played at Georgia Tech and, you know, in Paul Johnson's offense. And that's what they thought they got. They got a guy, you know, who's an NFL receiver playing out of position at LSU and not out of position, but out of run first defense oriented school. And they
right.
thought they were going to get a steal and they looked the part. He struggled a little bit last year, but certainly he looked the part Sunday.
So what do you think of their chances? Aren't they in Houston on Sunday?
They are. Yeah, don't forget they're still playing. Their right guard is playing left tackle. So all of a sudden, you know, he did a pretty good job against Frank Clark, but now you're going to go up against J.J. Watt right. and Whitney Mercilus. That's going to be a little different.
The other guy you were mentioning was, because he played for the Texans too, unless I'm crazy, was Demaryius Thomas played at Georgia Tech.
There you go. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah, Demaryius Thomas and Calvin Johnson, two guys who, you know, playing at a run oriented school and really had better NFL careers than anybody.
So do you think they'll give the Texans a game? Because the Texans, I thought, really, frankly, blew that game last night in New Orleans. When you have a two-play drive in 10 seconds and throw two passes and score a touchdown and take a lead with 36 seconds left in the game, you got to win the game, and they blew it.
That's game over, right? That's game over.
Right.
I don't know that they're going to – I have a hard time believing they're going to go in there and have a chance. I mean, you know, unless Minshew just shocks everybody and the defense turns – you know, listen, this defense, I want to give them a pass because they're playing – the best offense in the league, best quarterback, reigning MVP. You want to give them a pass, but, you know, come on, that was a joke. They gave up 491 yards, gave up scores on the first seven possessions. Kansas City did whatever it wanted to do, whenever it
right.
wanted
but
to
is
do.
That is that defense for real or not? Because all I ever hear about, and, you know, from a national perspective up here is, you know, I get this all the time. I'm on in Jacksonville. I get, we have a great defense. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Not Sunday. They were the joke of the town. I mean, like, they were the problem. Even losing Foles and even throwing Minshew in there, the defense was the issue. Couldn't get a single stop. They forced one punt. It came, you know, with about 4 minutes to play in the game. So, you know, the defense was ridiculous. And here's the crazy thing: if you believe what the coaches and everybody's saying, they didn't play to their identity. They went out there. They're a man-to-man. They're a man coverage team. They went out there and they tried to be tricky and play zone and got picked apart. So, you know, who knows how they rebound. They certainly have the talent. They're good up front. They're good in the back end with Jalen Ramsey for sure. But they've got some spots. They got some weaknesses at linebacker, certainly in the secondary at the safety position.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an elite defense by any means. Is it better than average? Maybe. But, you know, in this day and age, you know, better than average isn't getting it done because all the rules favor the offense. You know that.
Mark Long is with the AP in Jacksonville. He's been on the bench a lot. I got to ask you about the Gators really quick.
Yeah.
So they, you know, I thought the Miami game was good. They kicked Martin's ass. That was easy. Now you go to Lexington and Stoops Club. This is like the Miami game. This is going to be a good game, isn't it?
Yeah, you think so. I mean, the only problem is, you know, Kentucky lost its quarterback and is now starting a kid who was at Troy last year and is a transfer from Troy. So, you know, first-time starter. So, you know, who knows from that standpoint. Florida's defense is pretty good. I'll say this, for Felipe Franks, this has kind of been his Achilles heel this game. 2 years ago, he got benched against Kentucky. Luke Del Rio came in and rallied the Gators to a victory 2 years ago in Lexington. I think if you remember correctly, Kentucky left two wide receivers completely uncovered.
Right.
And Stoops was beating himself after that game. And then they come in and really handed it to the Gators last year and, you know, got Felipe benched again. So, you know, it's 2 years. Felipe Franks hasn't been very good. And he's kind of the X factor for Florida. He's got all the talent in the world, but nothing between the ears. And so, you know, he goes up there and he absolutely could crap it for him. There's no doubt. He could crap the bed and ruin it for Florida. But you got to think, you know, with that defense going on the road against a new starting quarterback, you got to think Florida's got the edge here.
Yeah, but this guy so far, now that was funny what you said about him. But I got to tell you, he's really, Miami is overrated as usual. And I got to tell you, though, he's thrown, 78% completion so far, and he's throwing about 10 a pop, and he's really racking it up and putting up numbers. But Martin, I don't respect. I agree with you. He's been terrible against Kentucky, but against this Kentucky team, he needs to go out and actually beat their ass.
Yeah, that would do wonders for his ego and certainly Gator Nation, which is, you know, dying for him to have a game where he just, not only does he put up the numbers, but he looks the part doing it. That's the problem with him. He's slow through his progression, and he's sitting there pump faking once, pump faking twice, and it's just like, get rid of the ball. And that's kind of what Gator Nation looks at him. The guy just looks, I mean, he's a third-year starter. Now, granted, he's been benched 5 times in 3 years. He's a third-year starter, and the expectations for him are kind of through the roof because, you know, the other 3-year starters in Gainesville have been lately have been Tim Tebow and Chris Leak over the last 12 or 15 years. So, you know, those two guys both won championships. So, you know, and it's Gainesville. It's, you know, it's quarterback spot. And he doesn't look the part all the time.
Yeah, he doesn't look.
And then his antics, I think, get under people's skin.
He doesn't look like an NFL quarterback either, in my opinion. Listen, Mark, great stuff. As always, we'll see how the Jags do in Houston. We'll see how the Gators do in Lexington. Always great having you on the bench. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy the games.
Thanks for all. Have a good night, buddy.
All right, Mark Long from the AP in Jacksonville on the bench.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.